forward in that progress that God has for us. And so I want to just look at some of the hindrances that come, I guess, across our path. I looked up the word hindrance. I think most of us understand what it means. But I looked up the word hindrance, and it says, an impeding or stopping, a preventing of, or the like. Don't have all the like. That just opens up for anything and everything. All the like. Anything that stops. It's the state of being hindered, or a person or a thing that hinders. And I want to talk about some of those things that hinder us from moving forward into what God has for us today. Because if we're to move forward and to live, we've been talking about living with resolution, we need to resolve some of the things that get in the way. We need to resolve the hindrances in our life and the things of the past that are actually getting in our way. Hebrews 12:1-4 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. I love this last bit. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. What it's saying is, I think sometimes we need to work a little bit harder at some of this stuff. It talks about running with. Who likes the words work at, spend time with, endure? None of us like those kinds of words because they kind of imply effort, don't they? But in actual fact, we need to make the effort to deal with some of this stuff. Whenever I read this verse, I am always taken by the thing that says, throw off everything, strip off everything that hinders. Because it talks about the sin that so easily entraps. And we know about those things, we talk about those things, but there are other things in our life that aren't necessarily bad things that stop us from being who God's called us to be. And it says we have to strip those things away. And girls, sometimes that can be a painful process. But I like the way that God says just get rid of it. I bought some weights the other day. They're only a couple of kilos each. And they're about all I can lift. The idea was so that, you know, when I'm exercising at home or whatever, I do it with weights, because they tell me at the gym when I actually finally get there that if you do it with weights, you burn more calories, therefore you burn more, you know, we know the story, okay? So I bought some weights. And I've been doing squats most mornings, not every morning, but most mornings, 50 squats with my weights. Can I tell you, if I was trying to run with those weights, I would not get very far. They may only be 2 kilos each. Total of 4 kilos. In fact, the packs of dog food we buy for our dogs is less than that. You know, it's not a huge weight. But if I'm trying to run with it, even if I'm trying to walk with them for a long time, they hinder me. They slow my progress. There is nothing wrong with weights. In many ways, there is nothing wrong with them. They're just an inanimate object. But they hinder my progress when I'm trying to run fast. It's the same as, I've used it before, you've probably all heard it, the example of high heels. High heels are great. But you can't run a race in high heels. Well, you could, but you probably wouldn't win it. It says strip off everything that actually hinders us in our walk with God. Now, girls, don't misunderstand me. That does not mean that you can't wear high heels to church. That's okay. Okay? What I'm talking about is in the race of life, it says run to win, and we need to get rid of those things that get in the way. And I guess I ask myself the question, and we can all ask it of ourselves, what is hindering me? Rach talked a little bit before about, you know, it's self-esteem issues and stuff like that. What hinders us? What is actually hindering me? I ask that personally, and I hope we each ask that personally, because most of us can pick out pretty easily the things that we think are hindering other people. We're really good at that, aren't we? Who's really good at seeing what the other person needs to do? We are brilliant. We are all really good at picking what the other person needs to do. But what I want us to focus on this morning is, what do we need to do? What do I personally need to do? What is hindering me? The other thing I want us to think about this morning as we're listening to this is, what behaviours do I display that stop me moving forward? And what am I holding on to that is comfortable but stops me achieving what God's called me to do? What am I holding on to that's comfortable? I have some thoughts for you this morning, and I have four things, but I suspect we could think of hundreds of things that stop us. And that's why I want it to be personal, because I want each of us to think about what it is that personally affects us. I've picked on a few that I think affect a lot of people, me included. I am not immune to these things, I can assure you. What gets in the way, girls? What gets in the way? The first one that I think is unresolved past issues. Unresolved past issues. They get in our way. And unless we resolve the past issues, we can't fully embrace the future. In fact, unless we're committed to moving into our future, we'll never resolve our past issues. And you may think that sounds a bit like a catch-22, but it's not. If we are genuine, girls, if we are genuine in our desire to move forward, we will do whatever it takes to get rid of the past issues that stop us and hinder us. Girls, this isn't something that happens in a second. It might take a little while, but let's work at it. Let's work at resolving past issues. What hurt and pain are you carrying from the past that hinders your progress? I know for me, I had to work really hard, especially when I was in my early 20s, to deal with some stuff that was unresolved from my past. And can I say, it was a really painful process. And I reckon it took me a good few years to fully deal with that stuff. And you know what? It pops up again every so often. And those that are close to me will know when it pops up, because you usually hear about it. Past issues, we need to resolve them and deal with them so that they don't keep popping up. And we need to know how to deal with them when they do pop up, because the enemy will pop them up for us just when we think we've dealt with them. So we need to know, and that's about our thinking. But bitterness, past failure, bad experience, we've all had it to one degree or another. And we need to deal with it and put it into the past and leave it there. I think we have to change how we see it. We have to change. Rachel was talking earlier this morning about God's perspective with Job, and how God's perspective never changed. That our perspective of God kind of changes. We think of different things. And I quite liked that, because we actually have to change how we see ourselves and how we see the past. You see, I may be who I am today because of the past, but why do I need to let that affect my future? See, what happened to us in the past may be part of who we are, but it does not have to dictate our future. It just doesn't have to dictate the future. And I am able to be free because Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. He has bought me and brought me into relationship with a perfect Heavenly Father. And girls, if you've had father issues, I know that's sometimes really hard to grasp. I understand that. I was fortunate. I had a really, really good dad. It's really hard sometimes, if you haven't had a good dad, to grasp how much God loves us and how perfect a father he actually is. His kids stuff up all the time, but he's a perfect father. And I love that about God. So there are two ways to move forward if we're struggling with things of the past. We need to forgive. We just need to forgive. This is an ongoing process, but it's been extended to us, and we should extend it to others, regardless of whether the person's apologized to us or not. I think that's the tough one. We want people to apologize so we can forgive, but the Bible doesn't say anything about the other person apologizing. It says forgive because God has forgiven you. It doesn't say forgive, it's not a conditional thing. Forgive if they're nice to you. Forgive if they apologize. It just says forgive. It is the most freeing thing that we can do to resolve our past issues, to forgive. And the onus is always on us to forgive. And that's the tough bit. The onus is always on us. It's not on the other person to make a correct thing or to correct the situation. The onus is on us to forgive. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. God freely gives us forgiveness. He offers forgiveness to us. And we need to freely give of forgiveness. Luke 11:4 says, "And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." That is a huge challenge, isn't it, girls? That's such a huge challenge. Forgive us our sins as we forgive. Are we forgiving in bucket loads when we need to? Because forgiveness will free us. And God says we have to forgive. I think the other thing for us to do is wherever possible for us, not for the other person, wherever possible for us, we need to make it right. If we've stuffed up somewhere, if we've got it wrong, we need to, wherever possible, make it right. Romans 12:18 says, "Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone." Girls, it's not always going to be possible to live in peace with everyone, but it says, do all that you can. The onus is on us to do what we can do to live in peace with other people. Do what we can do. It's not easy. I understand that this is not easy. I understand that sometimes this is really hard and really difficult. And that's why we don't do this stuff alone. That's why together we work on these things, because we can support and love and encourage one another. That's why life groups are really important, place to pray and seek God and get support from people. Really, really important. Hebrews 12:14 says something very, very similar. It says, "Work at living in peace with everyone and work at a holy life. For those who are not holy will see the Lord." It's a bit of a package, really, isn't it? What this is really saying is, do your best to live the way God wants you to live, and do your best to settle your accounts with other people. It implies effort. You know, I'm the kind of person that if there's an easy way out, I'd take it. I think most of us would. You know, if there's a shortcut, I'm taking it. If there's a way through the traffic, I'm taking it. You know, it's really nice that have a shortcut. Who likes it when they do study and they get recognition of prior learning and they don't have to, you know, do quite so much? It's great. But in actual fact, anything that is worthwhile takes effort, takes time, takes energy. It really does. And I think that's something that we just need to remember when we're tired, that anything worthwhile does take effort. But let's do it. Matthew 18:15, we know this one. "If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back." So important. When I see this done well, it works every time. Works every time. Just when it's done properly, it works. Can I encourage us, when stuff happens, be the first person? There's another one that actually says, if you know that someone else has something against you and you're coming to church, or it says laying your gift on the altar, you've got to understand the Jewish way of doing something. It says, go to them and make it right. As far as you're able, live at peace. And I like that, because again, the onus is on us, but it says we're taking responsibility for our lives and not being dictated to by what other people do. Let's take responsibility. So a couple of questions. Who do we need to forgive? Who do we need to forgive? You might be in that blessed place this morning where there isn't anyone. I hope you are. However, who do you need to forgive? And what issues do you need to deal with? What issues do you need to deal with? Can I encourage you girls this morning to think about those? Get whatever help you need. Please get whatever help you need. But ultimately, it's up to each one of us to deal with these issues. The second thing that I think that hinders us, another personal favourite, is procrastination. Procrastination, it stops us from doing what God's called us to do. I have called this the "I'll do it tomorrow and it doesn't really matter" attitude. Doesn't matter, we'll do it tomorrow. Oh, we'll just put it off for another day. It'll be all right, doesn't really matter. Some things probably don't, but I tell you what, if you put it off often enough, you will never, ever, ever get to where you want to be or where you know God wants you to do. I've read bits and pieces of the book Catch 22, and Yasarian is this guy. It's a bit of a comment, if you like, on war and various things, but he has a father called Major, Major, Major. But Major, Major, Major gets up at the crack of noon, gets up at the crack of noon to make sure nothing's been done. It's, you know, it's just, if you read it, it's just ridiculous. This is ridiculous. We might, you know, most farmers would be up at the crack of dawn, busy working. If you're a dairy farm, you're up and you're milking the cows. Just ask Pam about that. Have you actually personally milked a cow, Pam, or has your lovely husband always done it? There you go, see? Up early to milk cows. People, yes. So, most people would get up early and work hard. But see, this guy was a procrastinator. He just put everything off. And he put everything off and he'd get up and it says, you know, the crack of noon to make sure nothing was being done. It's just a ridiculous thought and it's meant to be totally ridiculous because the idea of it all is that you just can't live your life that way. You just can't live your life that way. Procrastination is the killer of our dreams. The more we procrastinate, the further away that dream seems and the harder it seems to reach. It's really a killer of our dreams. I guess we come into the era of good intentions. Again, I am brilliant with good intentions. I have lots of good intentions. And if my life was measured by good intentions, I'd be right up there with the best. However, my life is not measured by good intentions, but what I actually get about doing for God. And that is what, when I come before God, He is going to look at. Yeah, He looks at our heart, but what He's going to look at is, did I do what He called me to do? Not did I have lots of great ideas about what He called me to do. Not did I have, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could do this, or I'd really like to do that. And good intentions are fabulous. Good intentions are the starting point. But like I said last week, we've got to act on them. We've got to act on our good intentions. Otherwise, they stay as good intentions. We just procrastinate. You know, good intentions, when we see them, are usually there because we see that there's a need. We see that something could happen that would be positive. So it's a really good thing. And we have these good intentions. But let's act upon them. Because a good intention not acted upon is just procrastination. It really is. When I came home from my holidays, I wanted to download my photos. Oh, it'll be all right, I don't do it tonight, I'll do it the next night, do it the next night, do it the next night. Now I've got to dig my camera up because I can't find where to put it. You know, so will it actually get done? Yes, when I find my camera. I actually did download the pictures off my phone. However, that's because I could find my phone. Good intention. I had every intention of doing it the night I came home. It's nearly 3 weeks later and it's still not done. A great intention. Have I achieved what I set out to do? No. Did I have a good intention? Yes. Good intentions don't help us at all. Doing what we're meant to do does. And so let's move from good intention and away from procrastination to action. Proverbs 24:30-34 says this. I walked by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds and its walls were broken down. Then as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little of folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. I think about that scripture. It's talking there about farming and about making sure you till the land properly and that you get your crop. But I want us to think about, not many of us are farmers here, I want us to think about poverty of spirit and emotion and all those things when we just procrastinate, when we put off reading the Word of God, when we put off acting on those good intentions. We're the poorer for it, and the kingdom of God is the poorer for it. So let's not allow that to happen. In Isaiah, the prophet kept speaking the word to the people and they just didn't care. They just kept putting off what they knew they should do. There's a fair bit of rebellion in that, I have to say, but they just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. In the end, they lost everything. Let's not live like that. I don't want to be like that. Isaiah says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. And Ecclesiastes 5:4, when you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Yeah, Ange just said, ouch. It's true, because what God is actually saying is when we say we're going to do something and we don't carry it through, we're acting like a fool. There's a few ouches this morning, but I hope it helps us move forward. Okay? The thing to remember with this, girls, is if you've got some of this stuff happening, don't condemn yourself. I know how we all think. Don't condemn yourself. Just say, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to do it differently. Stuff happens. Very similar in Deuteronomy 23:21. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your promises to him, or you'll be guilty of sin. Knowing what God wants us to do and procrastinating about it is actually sin. Because it actually means that we're not doing what God's called us to do. So girls, let's not be sinners. Let's get about doing what God's called us to do and putting that into action. And I guess the question here is pretty straightforward, isn't it? What are you putting off today? What are you putting off today that you know God's calling you to do? What are you putting off? Can I encourage you to take steps today to start doing those things that you know you need to do? The next thing I think is excuses. Again, maybe I've picked these because they're things that I know that I struggle with sometimes. There are always reasons, but let's not allow those reasons to become excuses for not doing something. There is a reason for everything. And most of us are really good at giving all the reasons why something didn't happen. I am. I can give you lots of reasons for why things don't happen. They might be silly, but they're reasons. But in the end, if I'm not doing what God's called me to do, they're just excuses. And I want to encourage us to think about the excuses. Because excuses are a hindrance. We allow ourselves to get away with stuff by excusing them. Oh, it's okay. It doesn't really matter. It's not that important. What are we allowing ourselves to get away with? What are we allowing ourselves to get away with? What excuses are we making for why we haven't done something, why we haven't dealt with a particular thing, why we haven't spoken to a particular person, why we haven't... What excuses are we allowing ourselves? Now, I picked out a couple of things that I've heard over the years. Could be anger, could be drink, could be financial stuff, could be... But I'm not normally like that, is the excuse. Oh, it only happened, but I'm not normally like that. Doesn't really matter because I'm not normally like that. I did X, Y, Z because I drank too much, or I did X, Y, Z because I was frustrated. I did. Yeah, that's the reason, but let's not allow it to be an excuse. Let's deal with the reason. We can either say it's okay because I don't normally act like that and excuse the behavior, or we can say, I reacted that way because, whatever, but that's not okay. That's not okay. What do I need to deal with right now so that I don't continue that behavior? I said that nasty word because I was just frustrated and I was having a bad day and I was tired. Yeah, they're all great reasons. Well, they're reasons, so they're great reasons. But actually, it's an excuse for getting away with behavior that's not appropriate. We need to encourage one another and challenge one another when we make excuses for ourselves. I'm great at making excuses. Oh, I just sped along the road because I was running late. And the reason was I was running late. That's an excuse. It's allowing myself to get away with behavior that's not appropriate. We need to start asking ourselves, we need to understand the reason, because if you don't understand the reason, you're not going to deal with the issue. But you need to then say, but that's not okay. I need to make a change. What is your behavior? It might not be an external thing. It might be something you're actually doing. It might be a way that you're thinking. We need to say, it's not okay. What do I need to do? Look, there's lots of examples, and I suspect it's different for each one of us. But I want us to ask ourselves, what behaviors are we making excuses for? And then what are we actually going to do about it to deal with that behavior? I've got a couple of lengthy scriptures to read, and I think they kind of speak into it. Ephesians 5, 1 to 18 says this, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, so live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. I'm just going to skip down to verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let's be women who live our lives, who understand the reasons, but who resolve in ourselves that we're going to live without excuse. And live without excuse. Ephesians 4, which is in the chapter just before, says, put on your new nature, created to be like God. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbours the truth, for we are all part of the same body. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And it goes on. You know, it says if you're doing this, stop. So what it's saying is, if this has been your problem that you've been making excuses for, stop doing that and live a different way. Live how God has called us to live. If you are a thief, it says, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Paul has a lot to say in Ephesians about how we should live. Can I encourage you girls to read Ephesians over and over and over and over and get it into your heart about how God wants us to live? Because it's really, what he has to say is really, really good about getting rid of the stuff and allowing the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to deal with this stuff and get it out of our lives. And the last thing, and it's just a quick one, is fear. Fear, it is the biggest stealer of our future. And I know we all suffer from it at some stage or other. I do. Get frightened by stuff. Stuff happens and you think, oh my gosh, what's God doing here? I'm not sure if I can handle that. I'm not sure if that's going to go. How do I deal with this? Does God really want me to be here? Like I'm afraid of what the future might be. That is no way for us to live. That is no way for us. It's debilitating. It is like trying to walk with shackles around your feet. Fear is absolutely and completely debilitating. And like procrastination, it will steal your dream and it will hinder your resolution. Just a little something here. Sometimes we say we're procrastinating something. Actually, we're afraid to do it. And we need to come back then to our no excuses thing and understand the reason is fear and deal with it. Fear is such a big thing. But can I say, girls, the best antidote to fear is to understand how much God loves us and know what an amazing God we serve. 1 John 4:16 says, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love and all who live in love live in God and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and that shows we have not experienced his perfect love. Girls, if you're afraid of stepping out into the future of what God has for you, then it's an indication that we're not loving God and we're not understanding God's love the way we should. I think it's a real challenge because it does imply that if we're afraid about doing what God's called us to do, that we actually don't understand God's love and we don't love him enough. I personally find that really challenging. I don't know about you, but I personally find that really challenging. Because it says, when I'm afraid of stepping out into the future, that I'm not trusting God enough and I'm not living in His love. And yet, He has given us everything. He's poured His love out upon us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and your cares to God, for He cares for you. I think part of our problem with fear is we don't allow ourselves to experience the love of God. And we don't allow ourselves to give our worries and cares to Him. In fact, I am very good at giving all my worries and cares to God and walking out the door and taking them all back with me and going back into God's presence and giving my worries and my cares to God and walking out the door and taking them back with me. And I think to myself, are you stupid or what? You know, like, maybe I am. I'm really glad you girls didn't answer that. It seems really silly, doesn't it? But we all do it. I know I do. Yeah, I'm sure. Let's learn to trust God and to know that His intention for us is good and that He loves us incredibly, incredibly, incredibly. And I want to challenge us to learn to seek God, to give our care and our fear and our worry to Him, and then walk away without carrying it in a little knapsack on our back. Just drop the knapsack at the foot of the cross when you meet with God. Leave it there. Let Him deal with it. Jesus took all of that on the cross when He died. And I think that's what Hebrews is saying when it says throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles. Because we carry it like a little knapsack on our back, and it slows us down and it stops us. We need to get rid of it. We need to deal with it and move forward. I know that God has amazing things for every single person here. Amazing things. He wants you to be reaching your friends. He wants you to experience your friends coming to know Christ. He wants you to be working for His kingdom and reaching out to people and living the way He's called you to live. So I want to challenge you this morning. Let's get rid of the stuff that hinders us. The things that hinder you may well be different to the things that I've spoken about this morning. Whatever it is, can I encourage you to deal with it? And like we did last week, I'd like us to take just a couple of minutes to think about some of those questions. And maybe just in the tables, talk to each other about one thing that you want to do this week to deal with one of those issues this morning. Just one thing that you want to do this week. Not putting it off anymore, not making excuses for it, actually dealing with it. I'll give you a few minutes to do that, and I'm going to go grab a glass of water. Okay, girls, it sounds like we've all been having a lovely, lovely chat about some things, and we have something that we're going to do this week. So why don't we just make that commitment today now to do what God's called us to do and not allow these things to get in the way. And why don't we just stand to our feet and feel free to come and say to me, Jill, have you done what you said you were going to do? Yeah. Yeah, be accountable. It's okay. I ask you, so it's okay to come and ask me. Yeah. Father, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you that you are an awesome God and that you want us to move forward, that your plan and your purpose for us is a good one, that you love us immensely and amazingly, God. And Father, I pray that you will help each one of us to deal with the stuff that hinders us. And Father, you know each one of these beautiful women just so personally and intimately, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would take each of them on the journey, Lord, of dealing with the stuff that's in their lives, the things that are stopping them moving forward, Lord. And Father, that the dreams and the hopes that you have placed in their heart, Father, will be fulfilled in their lives as they resolve to live for you, Lord, to deal with the stuff that hinders and to run the race of this life for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.